But so we got You Made Me Read This for our 84th episode.
Mm-hmm.
I made Esther read Twin Speaker by Ko Yaginuma. I can't read
it. Yaginuma.
There we go. And she made me read Gotham Underground by Frank Thierry and Jim Calafiore.
This is kind of working into our rhythm with You Made Me Read This, where David gives me thoughtful books that he really thinks will expand my appreciation of the graphic novel arts.
And Esther just tries to break me.
Yes.
So do you want to start with the, I guess, short version? Did you like Twin Speaker?
I quite liked it. I was a little confused by it.
Okay.
Let me know if I'm reading this wrong, but it seems like it starts with her around 12?
Let me see.
Like, maybe 10? She's drawn as really small, so I pictured her around
her size.
8 or 7.
Yeah.
But they just said she's the smallest kid in her class, so she might have been up to, like, 13, I guess.
Yeah.
But they have
she's definitely her high school.
Okay. So 14.
Yeah.
Apply to astronaut school. Space school. And then about halfway through the book, it seems to go, after she's, I'm spoiling this, accepted to space school after a couple of tests, it seems to go back to when she was a little girl.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just tell that for another like graphic novel
ages
worth.
Yeah. I forgot about that. It's much more, they stop doing that after a while. They're, mm-hmm, they're more integrated into the story. So you get, like, high school, kid high school.
So oh,
yeah,
like,
no, you're reading it right.
I know I'm supposed to be reading right to left, but we seem to be going backwards in time. I'm going to have to ask about this.
Yeah, for a while, it's like an A story and a B story, mm-hmm, where it's her as a kid and then her in the modern day.
It's quite interesting, but I feel bad. And I'm kind of angry at the school, being like, okay, now you're locked in. Did everyone remember your room number? Anyone who didn't has already failed the test. Screw you, school.
It's space school.
And then they suddenly decompress them.
Yeah.
And people, like, faint. Like, anyone who legitimately left for a medical emergency when they didn't know what was happening for them, you have also failed the test.
In the latest volume I read, they're coming back from being dropped in the woods and having to navigate their way back.
Have they gone to space yet?
No. Space is expensive. Also, you need a lot of training before you go into space, apparently. Yeah, I like this one. So when I was a kid, let me rewind.
Mm-hmm.
I liked outer space a lot.
Mm.
Like, not like the science of it, but just like thinking about light years and like stars, constellations, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, spaceships, super cool. And I'd mostly forgotten about that until I started reading this, which sort of does a really good job of capturing that feel of, mm-hmm, like, there's this huge, we're surrounded by things like we know next to nothing about, mm-hmm, but it's really pretty and like we should try to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a big fan. And volume 7 comes out Tuesday, so I got something to read next week. But yeah, what did you think? Like, as far as just a story, was this...
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they... Okay, as part of the story, they lock 3 people in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they lock not just 3 people, they picked a random. They have the initial test, and so many students pass that they're like, we need to have a practical skills test. And so their practical skills test is locking all these kids in teams of 3 in rooms and giving them 2 gigantic chests of dominoes and being like, you need to set up the dominoes, all of them, in lines.
Yeah.
In 7 days, and you'll just be stuck here for 7 days. The lights go out then. That's all. And... Oh, by the way, to unlock the chests of dominoes, you have to remember your room number. If you haven't, you are failed.
Which you just see as you're going into the room. Like, no one actually points it out to them, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, okay, we'll set up dominoes. And I could kind of, it made me more and less angry when I thought they were younger. Because I'm like, you don't do that to a 10-year-old. But now that I see they're 14, it's kind of more angry because, like, you're 14. You shouldn't be slapping each other for no reason. You should just friggin' get along. How hard is that?
Did you not go to high school?
Yes, and I had a good time because I had a decent high school.
Oh, goodness. The only one. Everyone send your children to Esther's high school. Better bring her down to our level. It's, but yeah, everything's drawn super cute, which makes all the people look very young.
Yeah.
Like, cute, I guess, is shorthand for, like, big eyes and ridiculous hair. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool how they're not, like, you're not sure if all of them are going to go to space, because some of them just suck, you know? And, like, Asami is the smallest in her class, and at one point they actually have to build a space suit for her, because she's so small. And some of the directors like, well, you know, that's a lot of money for just a student. And others are like, well, but we should do this. It's the right thing to do. There's, like, a little drama there. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Mr. Lion? Her guardian angel, for lack of a better word. Guardian ghost.
He seems nice. Yeah. Nicer than her dad, who in each of the stories slapped his kid across the face. And the first one, she was, like, really tiny.
Yeah.
And she, like, took her mother's ashes and, like, walked out of the house, and he found out the ashes were gone, and he comes and slaps her across the face, like, arm back, follow through. Yeah. She's knocked backwards. And then he's like, why did you do that? And she's like, I wanted to bury her somewhere where she had a view. And you said her favorite place to look at was the ocean. So I buried her in a spot that had the best view of the ocean. And he's like, oh, I wish I hadn't slapped you. And we're all like, yes, that's why you ask why they did that.
I didn't even
if you
pick
can
up on
ask,
that.
Then you can ask before you slap your small daughter around. And then in the second chronological story, in the first actual book...
chapter?
Canonical? I don't know. In the first chapter story, she decides to apply for space school. She gets in. He sees the results. And he's like... She's like, I applied for space school. I wanted to see if I could do it. Slaps her across the face.
Okay. I seriously didn't notice this.
Wait, and then she's like, goes off and cries and, like, looks at public high schools and more crying. And Mr. Lyon's like, he didn't slap you because you didn't tell him. He slaps you because he doesn't know what happened to the daughter who told him all her hopes and dreams. Like, are you a freaking adult? Really? How do you think this will get your result?
Oh,
my daughter doesn't open up to me enough about her personal life and how she wants to, her, like, innermost dreams of becoming an astronaut. Let me wallop her. And that will clearly make her feel like she can trust me to tell me anything after that.
I'm wondering, there are some bits later in the series where...
Good Lord!
Like, he really humanizes the father, the author does. I'm wondering if that's why. But I totally missed that as
I mean, he gave her his, like, all the money he had saved up in the world, and he said, I'll work however much, but we're going to send you to space school.
Yeah.
Good for you. So he's not, like, an evil monster of a father, but... For crying out loud, that's two scenes where he's just slapping someone seriously half his size and his kid around.
He didn't slap the baby version.
For ridiculous reasons.
But, like, when she was born, he didn't slap her, and I feel like that counts for a lot.
The doctor slapped her.
Life is hard. But, yeah, that's really funny. And it sounds horrible, me saying that. There's the one weird thing about this that I'm still not sure about is there's always that last story at the end where it's about, like, I guess a thinly veiled version of the author. Mm-hmm. Or like an author character, I should say. Maybe it's not actually based on his life. And he encounters Asami and or Mr. Lion in his real life when mm-hmm. he was a teenager. Like, the stories are okay, but I don't see how they relate just yet. Like, they don't really add much to the book for me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just about him, like, working in a, where roller coasters are. Theme park. I do that all the time, and it's super annoying when I'm trying to write something. But, yeah, overall, like, I'm a fan.
Okay.
And now for the fun part, which is talking about Gotham Underground.
Okay, having read the entire run of Gotham Underground, could you tell me what happened?
I got really mad, and then I skimmed a little bit, and I started reading again, and I got madder. By issue 3, I'd started forgetting stuff that I was mad about.
This is the bane of comic books. This is just, I will break you.
Yeah, no, this came close. This book,
I don't know
is,
why I give him a Russian accent.
Because of Rocky.
Oh, okay.
Who said, I will break you. That Rocky didn't say it. It was...
No. That other guy.
Yeah, go watch Rocky. Anyway, so
did Bane also say it, or did I just completely...
Bane says it, too.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. And it's easy to confuse those two, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But, no, so in this comic book, Batman is a spy and gets arrested and goes to jail. Mm-hmm. Penguin sells out villains to the Suicide Squad, who mm-hmm. appear twice. Mm-hmm. And the Whale, who I believe was a Black Lightning villain in Metropolis, comes to town and tries to take over and fails. Jigsaw from Punisher decides to show up in a Batman comic under the name Johnny Stitches and comes to Gotham to kill the Whale and fails. Mm-hmm. Spoiler shows up and then goes away halfway through the story.
Spoiler the character, we have no idea who she actually was.
It was definitely Stephanie Brown because she breaks into Oracle's computer lab.
Okay.
So, like, I feel like she has some explaining to do. And then at the end, Batman breaks out of jail, spends apparently 2 weeks beating up Vigilante in an alley, and then goes and joins a gang fight and tells Commissioner Gordon that he's back. And who else was in there? Robin banters. This is still back when Tim Drake was Robin. Mm-hmm. He banters with Commissioner Gordon because apparently Robin sucks at sneaking. Ha 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 ha. And then at the end, like, there's a... He sneaks up on Gordon and puts, like, a President of the Robin fan club sign on his back with tape. And apparently, like, his logo, which I think is on one of his throwing R's, which is probably really heavy, which is actually kind of impressive, I guess. Dick Grayson goes underground in Penguin's mob because question marks. And then he gets
he's
shot.
Trying to find out what happened to Batman because he knows the last thing he did was
go
undercover as matches.
Yeah.
And so he makes up like a similar themed it's character
like Freddy DiNetto or something like that. And like the entire costume is just a soul patch.
I think he has, like, a match that he's chewing on or something, or a toothpick.
Maybe.
Let me get
but
to that part.
Eventually he puts on, like, a bad heat wave costume. Oh, and there. So Penguin, in addition to selling out his buddies,
Johnny recruits. DiNetto.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they're, wait, maybe that's not him.
It might be. It's either Johnny.
They're looking at his flat out, like, Tim Drake and Barbara Gordon are looking at his
oh,
face.
Oh, no, that's Johnny Stitches.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Who is seriously basically just Jigsaw from Punisher, whose face is all cut up and he's mean. And who else was in there? So Penguin gets his own rogues, who are just like homeless people and scamps that no other gang wants. Which makes perfect
Wait,
sense, I guess.
Is that...
No, she's new. She's just some other bald chick.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not Onyx, because that would be even worse than the last time she appeared. The Riddler tries to figure out what the Penguin's doing, and the Penguin outsmarts him. Who else? Bane is actually more or less in the character that I like, but he's stupid still. Like, he talks like a normal person, and he actually has plans, but then, like, he loses his temper, But it doesn't matter because the Suicide Squad are seriously only in 3 issues, despite someone mentioning them in almost every issue. Issue 6 or 7 is a flashback to what happened to the Great Whale, or what set up all these stories. All but boring. And Vigilante has some crazy plan that he's trying to do where he's going to kill somebody significant, but that just works out to shooting Heatwave / Nightwing in the stomach and then getting blown up by the other rogues and then getting beaten up by Batman. So yeah, that's everything that happened. And none of it was good.
I am so impressed that you could understand or list the things that happened, because I couldn't, even having heard you do that.
Nightwing hallucinates Leslie Tompkins at one point. That happened. So between issue 1 and issue 9, like, the changes that have happened are...
So it's basically like Gotham soup.
Yeah, like there was a gang war, and now there's a different gang war. And that's it. Like, everyone else... Well, I guess Nightwing is shot. Like, that counts. He's in the hospital for however long.
He gets shot every other issue.
Yeah.
During this time period.
But yeah, this is like... It's basically the worst type of Cape comic book. Because there's no point. Like, there is seriously no reason for this book to exist except to fill time. It's like the opening band that really sucks before the good band that might still suck. I don't know. That was entirely too cynical. But so all the writing, all like the big cool moments I've seen somewhere else or heard somewhere else are cliches that are actually called out in the book as being cliches as if that makes it okay to keep doing it. The art, like, I'm not really a Jim Calafiore fan because he's boring. Like, I mean, he can lay out a panel or whatever, but, like, his action scenes are boring. Stuff happens that doesn't make sense. And I was just never really engaged with the art at all. But just the story is the worst part. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, the history of the
panel. When I started
out,
I thought this was, like, going to be really interesting with various people going undercover and, like, maybe Batman and Nightwing would... in their undercover, like, versions of themselves, meet up in prison.
Yeah, no,
and,
not even...
like, do some sort of undercover takedown of gangs
And the Gotham Underground is in reference to the Underground Railroad that the Penguin is theoretically running, which is mentioned once.
Referenced to everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, all the gangs and...
Wouldn't that be Underworld, though?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And everything else in this book is just so unbelievably on the nose that, like, I feel like they would have gone with that. But, like, the time period. So Batman breaks out of prison in issue 8, like, after everything's already gone to crap. Like, I guess Alfred just didn't bother having Oracle find him until then. But so he breaks out, and the first thing he does is creep up on Vigilante in a dark alley. Like, he comes out of the smoke, and he's like, well, it's going to hurt a lot more pretty soon, or something like that. But, like, some phrase that was just so unbelievably filled with subtext. And then he spends the entire next issue fighting Vigilante in this alley, like, giving him the My City speech and, like, breaking his arm. Like, he leaves him broken and bloodied in a trashed alley. He's like, now it's time to get to the real work, or something like that. But the problem is, between issues 8 and 9, some time has to have passed, because the Penguin is like, we've already gone through 3 heat waves since we made peace with all the gangsters. Like, so did Batman just block out a week to beat this guy up?
Truly, it was a battle of the ages.
Yeah, like, what happened there? Did time slow down? Did I miss something? Was it just bad writing? But there's tons of, like, these little... Like, the gangsters say stuff like, eat lead, pigs. Like, the black guy goes, that's what I'm talking about. In addition to, like, the dumbest... Like, then, so the black guy's captain called in at one point, and he's like, who says blacks don't like the cold? And I wrote about this, I remember now, like, 3 years ago, whenever this came out. I was like, that's a really dumb thing to say. Like, I get what you were going for, but crappiest joke ever. And, like, reading it again, I was like, oh, that's why I don't like this series coming in. This was lurking in my subconscious to attack me.
Remember me?
Yeah.
Remember me?
But, like, the spoiler stuff didn't make any sense because she's working for the Penguin, and she can turn invisible, and apparently turning invisible means that if someone's hand is near your face while you're visible, if you turn invisible, they can't touch you. Which I don't think is how that works. She lays bombs in, I think it's the whale's headquarters, invisible bombs. And one of the whale's flunkies is like, yeah, someone broke in and laid a bunch of invisible bombs. How does he know they're invisible? Like, what?
I have broken you.
Like, there are just so many heinous problems. Johnny Stitches breaks in, and I think it's where the Penguin is. And the Penguin has all of his crew of rogues behind him, and the Stitches guy reads off a list of names. He's like, those are all your friends and your family dogs and your family and blah, blah, blah. If you don't walk out right now, we're going to kill them all. And they all slowly walk out over the course of, like, an entire page. I've definitely seen that in a movie somewhere before. There was... Jeez, can I see... 8 and 9? I forget which issue it was in. But there is the type of scene that only works in movies where there's like a simultaneous themed conversation going on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe it was 7.
Yeah, you said that worked in like the Doc Savage books.
Well, the thing with the Doc Savage books, though, is that they were on different pages.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it's one big spread. It's whichever issue had that super long flashback. With all the panels shaped like puzzle pieces. Yeah, I can't find it right now. But, like, it works in movies because you can cut back and forth really rapidly. On this one, you can't even really tell what order to read it in. Like, do you go top to bottom and read one scene at a time? Do you read across and read all three scenes at a time?
Because
they all end in, you know, we have to go to Gotham, or, you know, our future's in Gotham. And, like, I get it. The execution is horrible. But yeah, what else was in there that was just a complete cliche? Or just not the way things actually worked? Oh, before the big gang fight starts, Nightwing, as Heatwave, pulls off his mask and pulls out a cell phone to call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And his buddies are like, hey, what are you doing? Just, you know, we gotta go. And he's like, oh, just had to call the Penguin and tell him what was going on. He gets really worried, you know? Like, how could you sound like more of a rat? Like, oh, just gotta call my missus, you know, blah 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 blah.
He'll be pacing the floor.
Yeah. And like, he doesn't have like a cool earpiece or something, like a bat phone that he could use that doesn't involve pulling off your Heatwave mask and then looking like an idiot in front of 80 gangsters. The Joker has a guest appearance, which is completely pointless. He walks into the Penguin's bar, shoots two people because they're sitting at his table, while someone else is like, you know, boss, does the Joker have a table? The Penguin goes, no, he just does that. And then has a dinner, and then gets everything for free, because Joker, ha ha ha. It's actually kind of impressive how this is like a tour of Gotham City, but like...
Oh yeah, look at that. He has the sunglasses, he has a soul patch, and he has the little
like
thing that he's chewing on. I think it's a toothpick. Man. Dick Grayson, you are not original.
Oh, and that page sucks, too. Where it's like Huntress and Batgirl fighting. Or no, it's not.
Huntress and the Question.
Yeah. Oracle's like, I called in a few of the girls. And it's the Question just like straight up murdering gangsters. Like, I feel like if you gave this to someone to get them to read comic books, they would say they read it, but they would quit halfway through and never speak to you again. But, like, the spoiler stuff I really feel like makes the less sense, and it almost seems like there were rewrites at some point. And, because, like, she's introduced, she's spying on Robin, and Robin, like, senses that he's being spied on, and, like, goes like, whoa, while he's swinging around the city. And then she beats up Robin and Oracle in Oracle's place and blows up all of her computers. And then Wildcat, like, punches her out, and then she escapes somehow. And, like, that's really basically the last you see of her. Like, she looks in someone's window, and she lays the invisible bombs at some point. It's just, like, it was clearly going somewhere, and then it just sort of stops. Like, editorial was like, oh, wait.
Maybe we've got something to do with this.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize this was 9 issues long. Also, 9 issues is way too long for this book. This was, like, a 4-issue miniseries at most. It took forever to read. It's just the most cliche. It reads like the bad old days of Batman, like 2004, 2005, when it was just, we got to get these books out on the shelves and we don't care what's in them.
Well, it was 2007, yeah. So pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are ads in there for the beginning of Grant Morrison's Batman run, mm-hmm. and Batman R.A.P. and Final Crisis. So it spans quite some time. Yeah, just no fun. Like, if I had to pin down one thing that I liked, I like the Riddler, but I don't like him as a private detective. So you came close to breaking me, but this one is just bad. Like, it's not even, like, the kind of bad where you just get really angry. It's just like, I can't believe someone got away with this. Mediocre on every level. Oh, that's not even half an hour. I'm sure I got more I could talk about.
Let's...
Oh, the Suicide Squad stuff. So,
okay, well, let's go to back to your book.
Yeah.
It just... I don't know. It seems kind of... I guess part of what I see as a good school, mm-hmm. is teaching people to do stuff rather than being like, you didn't do instinctively what you should have done, so, you know, to hell with you.
They do teach. They definitely teach later. Like, they have... they do anti-grav training in water.
Mm-hmm.
They do the thing that spins around. I forget what it's called, but it tests you against G-forces, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Like, they go to actual boring classes where they sit down and do math and things like that. But I guess that's...
But, like, these spontaneous tests of character, where they're just like... They don't tell them, hey, we'd like you to be observant. They... automatically disqualify every 14-year-old who doesn't notice the room number. Like, that's not okay.
It's after the first volume, that sort of stuff pretty much grinds to a halt. There are still some pass or fail things, but it's not quite as like life or death pass or fail. I think honestly that's just like drama that they just tacked on. Tacked on is the wrong word, but like something to get you into the story is like, oh, it's tense, because otherwise, like, it would just be them sitting at a desk filling out tests for 80 pages.
Well, I don't mind them being like, okay, you're stuck in a room with three people and we're going to monitor your behavior and you're doing this pointless repetitive task and we're going to see how you do, mm-hmm. but... Like, this spontaneous, like, well, you should have been observant the entire time, or you should have been like this the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That seems less, that seems like needlessly cutting down your list of possible astronauts.
Yeah.
Just for the fun of, well, just for the sake of, I guess, spontaneously for, like, one attribute that could be positive or negative.
Though I do guess if there's... It would have been really embarrassing if everyone failed.
Like, none of us know the room number. Let's go.
Yeah. But I think it's the sort of thing where you have to emulate... Like, if you were actually in space, you have to have those instincts. If something goes wrong, you don't want to be the guy that gets sucked out into space.
Yeah, but there are a lot of different ways to test that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you can't change someone's instincts. So if they're going to go, like, crazy scared, if they get sucked into space, or if something goes wrong, you're going to find that out no matter what.
Well, I think you can change someone's instincts.
Well, then why didn't they teach them?
Because they had... 1,000 too many students, and they just needed the 8 that are in our cast.
All right.
It's does this volume explain who Mr. Lion is? I'm just flipping through, and I don't think they do.
It seems to indicate that he has. I think it takes his little lion head off, and it's there's a guy underneath, and it's like a mixture of some guy that she saw around the time of the shuttle crash.
Oh, here it is, yeah.
And also, like, the spirit of the people who were crashed and things like that.
Yeah.
Combination.
It, he's basically, he's one of the, astronauts on the shuttle that crashed.
Yeah.
And he came back to this town because that's where, I think that his fiance or, like, steady girlfriend was her teacher, Asami's teacher. And so that's why he's kind of sticking around to protect her.
Let's go with, let me give you a little background. When she was a baby, not you, the listeners. You know.
Yeah.
When she was a baby, Japan launched its first entirely Japan-made staff, crewed, everything.
Yeah.
Rocket. And there was some error, and it crashed into the middle of a town. Mm-hmm. And it killed a lot of people. And one of the people it hurt was her mother, who was carrying her as a baby in her arms. And when the rocket crashed, like, huddled around her to protect her and was very badly burned and went into a coma for, like, 5 years and finally died. And the rocket was called the Lion.
Wait, I don't think she was in a coma for 5 years. Oh, she was. Yeah, you're right. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so now she's followed around by a guy wearing a, like a lion's mask, like a mascot sort of lion with a cute face, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Who somehow plays a harmonica through his mask and kind of helps her out and gives her advice.
Except he's not there at the school.
He will. Like, he ends up coming there. And another girl kind of sort of sees him at one point. Mm-hmm. And he's like, whoa, that's weird. I don't know what that's about. The mystery is going to be slowly unfolding. Who did you like the most out of the cast?
Awesome.
Okay. She's very,
nice. Wants to do things. Is happy about going to space.
She's a super tryhard, which is sometimes annoying, but in this case, it's kind of a role because she's so small. I think I first read this on, where was I coming back from? On an airplane. I think New York Comic Con last year, I picked up the first couple volumes and just burned through them. They were really good. And as much as I hate flying, like, reading about space shuttle crashes every 15 pages was kind of unsettling. But I thought the one where she...
I had Rocket Man stuck in my head the entire time through.
I thought the one where she meets her mother's ghost and leads her across the River Sanzu, which is basically, like, the River Styx, but... Styx,
I think.
Yeah. It's like that was slightly different, but similar idea. And the bit where she's dragging the giant banner that says Mother... Which, I don't know, maybe she had it already. I thought that part, that was kind of sort of what sold me on the series. That it's not just going to be like space shuttle talk, there's going to be some emotional manipulation going on. I thought that was really sweet. But yeah, I've got 6 volumes so far. I'm going to pick up the 7th next week. I don't know, it's one of those ones where I wouldn't have expected to like it at all. Because just looking at it, it looks sort of like Magical Girl shoujo stuff, where it's like cute people falling in love with pretty boys and like their sparkles. And like there's a little bit of that, but most of it's just like Earth space is pretty awesome. Now I'm hanging out with my friends and we're doing, you know, experiments.
We're doing space camp.
Yeah. Like I think they only barely introduce the boys in this one. They have their own room. But
yeah.
They become a major part of the cast too. Like, pretty much
the boy who his parents have a fireworks stand, I think.
Yeah. His girlfriend in the same town.
Yeah, and who's always like, "You're an idiot. I hate you." And
I wonder
he's just like,
going.
"Hi. It's great that you're here."
And there's the cool guy, blonde dude, Like, who doesn't really care? Me notices this stuff, and he's pretty good. But yeah, it's all the cast are a, they're a type, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's the funny girl, there's the aloof rich girl, who has some sort of blood disease. Like, she gets sick a couple of times, and it's like a big deal. But yeah.
And they're sending her to space?
I assume it's something treatable. There's like pills or something.
Okay.
Yeah. It's when she stops taking the pills that are different. I think her dad probably slaps her too.
And the funny girl slaps the aloof girl.
Yeah.
Just everyone's getting
it's
slapped.
It's a lot of slapping.
It's just...
It's when you gotta calm somebody down. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Does speak a mean slap?
Probably. But yeah, it's interesting that it's so... Like, it'll just randomly drop Starfax on you. Like, Spica, also known as Alpha Virginis, is the brightest star in the Virgo constellation. It is 350 light years away. And it's like a little 5-year-old girl learning all this stuff, you know? Like, it's not really... It's not very realistic. Mm-hmm. And, like, people make connections that no one in real life would ever, ever make.
No.
Like, all their room numbers are the light, are the distances in light years to stars, and Asumi notices that, and that's how she knows what her room number is. And in fact, I think that the room number was Spica, which was quite a coincidence. I can't find it now, flipping through.
Yeah, she says it's to her favorite star.
Yeah, which, like, on a scale of 1 to 10 of coincidences, that's like a 15. Like, there's a character named Domino in X-Men, and her power is that things tend to work out for her. She's just naturally lucky. Mm-hmm. And she goes to rob a place, and the safe's dial, or whatever, the lock, was her ex-boyfriend's phone number. it's on that level. But yeah, this is surprisingly uplifting, unlike Gotham Underground, which is just like, well... Oh, sure, we're 9 issues of comics. I'm glad someone managed to make rent that month. Had there been any good, like, gang war Gotham comics? Like, where everybody teams up and just goes at it?
No.
Yeah, I can't think of any. And it seems like such a no-brainer of an idea, because Batman... For all the talk of, like, my city, I'm a loner, he has, like, 8 sidekicks.
Yeah.
Or 8 sidekicks in a
growing all the time.
Enterprises.
And Gotham, I mean, the JSA is in Gotham, isn't it? Aren't
really?
They? Or, what, like, their original headquarters, I think, were in Gotham.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like, it's crawling with superheroes. So you would think that, like, all the gangs teaming up to fight all the heroes would be kind of fun and interesting.
Or just gangs fighting each other with the heroes just being like, you gotta cut this out, people.
Cut it out, yeah. Jeez. It's... Gotham Underground was almost kind of what I like about Batman comics, with, like, the Matches Malone street level stuff. Mm-hmm. As ridiculous as Matches dialogue was the entire book.
Well, Matches is an unbelievably outdated character.
Yeah.
But you don't want to see him go.
Oh, I just thought of something else.
Let's have Batman put on a plaid jacket.
Like,
and act like a gangster from the 40s.
As soon as I started reading the book, it was... Where is it in issue 1? Here we go. This is Matches Malone going, I must admit, there are some perks to being Matches Malone. Yes, he may be every bit the mask to me that Bruce Wayne is. And I just wanted to close the book. Because, like, the Bruce Wayne is the mask conversation. Ugh. But I somehow find him to be much more liberating, and he's throwing some guy out of the iceberg lounge. Not for me. Also, oh yeah, Two-Face gets arrested. Oh, Nightwing goes to a bar, and there are all these guys with laser guns. They click before they fire lasers. Like, oh, come on. So next time I've got to find something that will break you. Like, I'm not sure where I could go, but I'll figure it out. Any closing comments?
think that's it. I've turned you to the dark side. A one!
And we'll leave it at that until next time.